Hello, Saints. Good to be back with you again today. Got a bright, sunshiny day today, and it looks fine out there, I'm telling you. Well, all right, let's go to the Lord. Father, I ask, Lord, that you cleanse us of all of this darkness that comes out of our mouth, Lord. Help us to see, Lord, what the things are that comes out of our mouth are not pleasing to you sometimes, Lord. And help us to set a watch before our lip to speak only as an oracle of God. And I praise you for it, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you open up our ears and eyes of understanding today to hear what you have to say to us about the sins of the mouth. And I praise you, Father, that you're going to do that for us and help us to understand and watch what we say can hurt people sometimes, Lord, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in all of us. Well, that's what I'd like to talk about today, is that all of the sins that come out of our mouths, the sins of slander, of backbiting, of gossip, and railing, and that railing just means speaking against, that can run rampant in a church, you know. Let's go ahead and find out what's expected from every believer as we walk this walk that God's called us to walk. You know, salvation is a free gift from God, because it says in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 8, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." But you know, when you get that gift from God, there comes a responsibility on how you use that gift. And that responsibility is to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. And without bearing fruit, we prove in the end that we don't have any salvation after all, right? John chapter 15:1 says, "I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit." And when you bear the fruit of Christ, that means that we have the responsibility to manifest all the attributes of Jesus Christ in our daily life. And when we bear this fruit, God will continue to try us and to test us so that we can manifest more of Jesus in our daily walk or in our daily life. And that's what I want to talk about. It's about helping you understand how you ought to conduct yourself as a Christian believer and how we can bear the fruit of Christ in our life. Praise God. Well, slander, what is that? Where does it come from? Well, that Greek word for slander is diabolos. And according to Vine's dictionary, it means to accuse falsely. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but there are 36 verses where that word is used in the New Testament, and 33 of them is translated devil. That word diabolos is translated devil. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father thereof." Now that scripture there speaks of diabolos as the devil or the slanderer. That doesn't stand in truth, but he speaks lies. That's what he's talking about. Slander works on the principle that the more people the slanderer can tell the lie to, the more likely it's going to be believed. So let's look at what the slander is in the body of Christ. Those who call themselves Christians, but speak like the devil a lot of times. Now, we ought not to be concerned about those outside the body of Christ, because without Jesus in their lives, they're going to act just like the devil anyway. It is our lives and the body of Christ in which we want to examine in order to see if we're doing according to the will of God, isn't it? In Psalms 11 in verse 2 it says, "For lo, the wicked bend the bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart." And that's what the slanders do within the body of Christ. They are sitting at ready at any moment to slide around, sneak around, and speak and attack others behind their backs. They don't have the nerve to speak to them to their faces. And that character assassination is always done in secret. And you know what? It's always intended to tear that other person down when they do it. Leviticus 19 and 16 says, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people." That's us. "Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord." God knew how destructive speaking lies about others can be. And that's why he gave us the ninth commandment. "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbors," in Exodus 20 and 16. Listen, slander and bearing a false witness is a whole lot more than a sin of your mouth. It is a sin that's from your heart. Because it says in Matthew 15, 18, and 19, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders." And those things that are secretly hidden in your heart are going to eventually come up, and they're going to come out the surface, and they're going to come out of your mouth. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 21, it says, "For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also." That treasure in your heart can be given to others as a blessing with grace and truth, or it can come out as a curse that slanders. In Psalms 101:5 it says, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him I will destroy." That's pretty serious there. Are you secretly sneaking around telling lies about your neighbor? When you speak to your buddies there, what are you saying about others? You know, a lot of you sitting there right now reading these scriptures that I'm giving you about slander and think to yourselves that you're innocent of this sin. That might be true. We may not be purposely lying about others, but what about making an accusation? How often do we make what seems to be harmless accusations about others, their motives, or their intent? Listen, that's an accusation about another in which we verbally speak to others, or it could even be us making an accusation in our heart against another, in your heart. And we think to ourselves, "I know she said that just to make me mad. That's why she said that." Well, or, "I know John took that because he was the last one that borrowed it." And you don't really know for sure, do you? Whatever that accusation is, there are oftentimes just assumptions on our part. That's all they are. You didn't see them do it, but you just figured they did it. And although we didn't see the person doing that thing, and although we really don't know their thoughts or intent, we make a judgment, don't we, in our mind, and we accuse them right then. You know, through our deductive reasoning and our intuition, we just know, don't we? We just believe he or she's guilty of doing that. And we often assume we know what happened in a situation. So we speak this speculative assumption to somebody else as though it were an established fact. When you don't know, it could have been something else. We think we know what happened in that situation. So we speak it to our heart right then. And which sometimes it causes resentment, it causes anger or unforgiveness. And you know what that leads to? It breeds sins, what it does. And it's all slander. And it's one of the biggest ways in which we bear false witness against another. The Bible has set out guidelines to prevent lies and false accusations. Deuteronomy 19 and 15 says, "One witness shall not rise against a man for any iniquity or any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." God's word says we need at least two or three witnesses. But most of the time we just assume that we know what really happened, don't we? And when we make that assumption, we accuse another in a heart, and from there it comes out and we speak it to others. And if you recall, we just got through reading about that it was the devil that was called the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, Revelation 12 and 10. It was the devil who accused Job. "Doth Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he hath? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he hath, and he will surely curse you to your face." Job chapter 1, 9 through 11. Well, listen, here's a question you need to ask yourself. Are you taking the role as the accuser of our brethren along with the devil? That devil speaks to our thoughts to accuse others, and we either accept what that devil has to offer or we can reject those thoughts and accusations that he's put there. So it's important that we evaluate our Christian walk to see if we are doing the devil's work by accusing our brethren. And Satan's accusation and lies never come out of his own mouth. These accusations come straight out of the mouths of the ones he's got control over. Satan comes in through our thoughts and in through our minds in order to cause havoc. And I use that word havoc because a havoc means to destroy or pillage. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do, using our mouths. And when slander starts to circulate his truth throughout the body of Christ, listen, it destroys men's reputations. It destroys their characters of good people. And by slandering, you now help the devil accomplish his purpose. John 10:10 says the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And when we don't resist those thoughts, those assumptions, and those accusations that hit our mind like a fire dart, then we start to speak those thoughts to others as if they were the truth. And that causes us to slander or bear false witness against another. And that is sin, y'all. And we need to repent. And even if we don't speak those accusations and we get them into our mind, you're still bearing false witness in your heart. That's why the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil in Ephesians 6. Each of us as believers has to be ready for the schemes of the devil. He's sly, man. He's slick. He'll do it. He'll slide stuff in there on a heartbeat. And you got to always remember that he is the father of lies, John told us in chapter 8. And not to give in to his sly and sneaky tricks that he does on us. And so when you get those thoughts and accusations that come sliding in from the devil, then remember this one, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So pull down those thoughts and put them in a cage somewhere and don't let them go any further. And ask the Lord to have mercy on that person. Start praying for them and bless them and ask the Lord to save them. So we're not to judge, and by assuming we know the truth when we don't, then we're trying to take the place of God, just like the devil tried to do in the beginning. And by us speaking those accusations, we're speaking evil against our brother. You don't need to be doing that. He says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? James 4:11 says, and 12. So if you are judging others in your heart or speaking against people, I want to encourage you to repent and go ahead and change your ways. Of course, that's what repent means. It means to change what you've done. Put these evil thoughts and words aside and study the pure Word of God. 1 Peter 2:1-2 says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. You know, we're supposed to be new creations in Christ. We're supposed to be putting away those old habits and to long for the pure Word of God. You can't control the devil when he shoots those fiery arrows of accusations, but we can cast those thoughts down. And we can be innocent before God by doing it. And that's what it takes to grow in respect to salvation. And that's producing the fruit of Christ there. Now, let's move on here. A close cousin to slander is what the Bible calls railing or backbiting. That word railing is also translated in some of the in a lot of the Bibles as reviling, blaspheming, and speaking evil. That word railing or backbiting means to speak evil about somebody else, and that usually happens behind a person's back. And oftentimes, they're true statements that have been exaggerated on the negative side of what they're talking about. In other words, they take the negative side of it and kind of twist the truth a little bit to make them look bad. So believers have to continually examine your heart and speech to see what's coming out. You need to ask yourself, would you say those things if this person were right there in front of you? And if you would not speak those bad things in front of them, why would you be a backbiter and speak evil behind their backs? Y'all remember what we read earlier, don't you? Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Who are you to judge another? James 4:11-12. And the Bible calls that evil speaking unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, is it acceptable to God if you're not a homosexual and you're not a thief and you're not a drunkard, yet you go around speaking bad about other people? It might be in your eyes you're better than they are, but how about in the eyes of your Heavenly Father? That's who, the one you have to impress. And if you believe this, you're deceived because of your blasphemous mouth, and you are just as unrighteous as all the rest of them, and you ain't going to inherit the kingdom of God. And you need to remember that, because Jesus was our example. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. 1 Peter 2:21 through 23. And instead of speaking evil against those who beat him and they crucified him, what did Jesus do? He prayed for him. In Luke 23 and 34, he said, "Father, forgive them." He's on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." How are you doing when others come against you? Either they come against you in word or deed. Are you speaking evil to others about what they're doing, or are you praying for them? And what if us Christians started praying for others rather than putting them down or speaking evil about them? It'd probably look more like this in 1 Peter 3:8 and 9. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." Listen, when you bless somebody, you're going to be blessed. That's the law of sowing and reaping, praise God. Galatians 6 and 7. "For whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. That he will also reap." And what kind of seed are you sowing at your mouth? Blessings or curses? And what will you harvest? You know, James said it real good when he said in chapter 3 and verse 8 through 10, "But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. And from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way." And as the body of Christ, y'all, we ought to be blessing others with their mouth and not cursing them or speaking badly about them. Even when it looks like he might deserve it, if we can't speak blessings, we ought to just keep our mouth shut and go ahead and pray for them. How about grumbling and murmuring about others? What does it say in James 5 and 9? It says, "Murmur not against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." I don't know if you know this or not, but when we condemn ourselves by complaining about somebody else, because it comes back to you in the law of sowing and reaping. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Galatians 6 and 7. So when we grumble about somebody else, we're judging them instead of letting God judge them. We render them guilty already of whatever it is, instead of turning the other cheek and letting God do the correction. Are we being judged because of that? Well, here's what Jesus said: "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Matthew 7:1-2. How do you want that judgment measured back to you? Now, listen, I believe we all appreciate a loving God who doesn't grumble or complain about our shortfalls. We appreciate a loving God who is compassionate, and he's patient with us. Got a lot of grace, don't he? He's always waiting for us to correct our ways and repent. So when the scripture says, murmur not against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned, maybe that's how we do it. Maybe that's how we condemn ourselves. When we murmur or speak evil about other people, we condemn ourselves instead of patiently praying for them and using our faith to help them overcome that weakness. Ephesians 4:29 through 32 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Are you allowing corrupt words to come out of your mouth that tear somebody down? Or are there words coming out of your mouth that edify or build up somebody? You know, the Apostle Paul encouraged us to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. And listen, I would encourage you to search the scriptures, because they are so rich with wisdom on how we ought to act as true children of God. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. That's how our merciful, gracious Father treats us with all of our failures. He asks us to treat others with that same love and kindness and that grace and that mercy. You know, God is slow to anger, and He overlooks a lot of our weaknesses until we finally learn from all of those mistakes that we've made. And when we overlook every transgression committed against us, that is where the Lord wants us to be in our Christian walk. And what that means is we got to often turn the other cheek. And don't you think that overlooking faults would be the merciful thing to do, especially when they do something not quite Christ-like, right? But you know what? Instead of overlooking their failures, some of us, including the best of Christians, they grumble and murmur and they complain to others about what happened. We ought to be following the golden rule, don't you think? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, kind of paraphrasing it there. And since we wouldn't like others to grumble or to complain, speak evil about us to their friend, we should not also strive to overlook the weaknesses of others, just like we would like our faults to be overlooked, right? And above all things, it says in 1 Peter 4:8, have fervent love for one another. Fervent love. For love will cover a multitude of sins. As we love others, we overlook their sins, don't we? We don't get offended. We don't grumble. We don't murmur. We don't complain. Instead, all we do is love them, and we pray for them, and we bless them. And that's how love covers a multitude of sins. But you know what? When the scriptures ask us to overlook a transgression, now, it's not talking about overlooking outright willful sin, is it? Jesus already explained what we're to do in Matthew 18:15-17 when you see a brother or sister in willful sin. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you want a brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Listen, we are to overlook and even turn the other cheek when somebody offends or transgresses against us personally. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Matthew 5:39. But you know, when a brother or a sister in the Lord is willfully sinning against God, you got to bring it to his attention. But you do it by following the steps up in Matthew 18:15. But we do it also in a loving and gentle way. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Galatians 6:1. You know, you also, think about this, you also got to be careful of the company that you keep. You might not have a problem with speaking against others or blasphemy, but if you hang around long enough with other people who's got that saint, they got that evil, blasphemous spirit, who speak and complain about others behind their back, that spirit's going to jump on you and it'll start affecting you. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived, bad company corrupts good morals." This sin of speaking evil against others was so serious in the early church that we saw very harsh consequences for those who were committing that sin of speaking evil against others. Remember what it said in 1 Timothy 1:20. It says, "Hymenaeus and Alexander, about them, whom I delivered unto Satan that they might be taught not to blaspheme." They didn't put up with it. They didn't tolerate slander. They didn't tolerate railing or blaspheming against others. They were dealt with harshly. And that's the way we ought to do. So this blasphemous spirit would not spread like a cancer. It does. It'll spread like a cancer. It's causing division. And God hates it. Apostle Paul was real clear that believers were not even to associate with those who say they are Christians but are in outward immorality. And that immoral behavior includes a reviler. And that's defined as somebody who speaks evil of others. It says in 1 Corinthians 5:11-13, "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside the church? Do you not judge those who are inside the church? But those who are outside God judges. Therefore put away from yourselves the evil person." And somebody that's doing that, causing division, he's railing against somebody, you got to remove them from the church if they don't repent. Paul warned us that in the last days there's going to be a whole bunch of blasphemous and slandering people around us. He said, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, and from such people turn away." 1 Timothy 3:1-5. Well, what then ought we to be as believers, should we do when we got somebody like that in amongst us? Well, the first thing is that you should love your brother or sister enough to let them know what they're doing is wrong. You got to. It says in Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." But you know what? If they go ahead on, they continue to do what they were doing before, railing and speaking against others, then we're commanded to put away from yourselves the evil person. That's what God tells us to do. He said, "Put them out from amongst you." Well, let's talk about a little more about another form of sin here, and that's gossip. Gossip is a real close cousin to slander, railing, and blasphemy. But they're not the same. Webster's dictionary defines gossip as a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others, rumor or report of an intimate nature. Here's an example here of gossip when widows have too much time on their hands, 1 Timothy 5:13. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Well, there's a little bit of difference between slander and gossip, because a slanderer is a person who accuses falsely, while a gossiper is somebody who may speak the truth about another, but they're revealing personal or intimate details about that person to others. You know, we've all experienced that. Did you hear about old so-and-so? Did you know about old so-and-so? Guess what I heard today? Boy, that's a good one. 1 Peter 4:15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters." A gossip will differ from railing, because a railer or a blasphemer spoken about in the Bible is somebody that speaks evil or speaks against somebody. And a gossiper may not start the evil speaking, but they pass it on to others as though it was the truth. And if you pass on a slanderous rumor to others, that's called gossip. So you can't be any better than the person who started the lie then. A gossiper never passes on information that builds somebody up. They pass on information that tears them down. That's the nature of the gossip. Proverbs 11:9 says, "With his mouth the godless man destroys his neighbor." Most of the time, gossip is not even investigated to see if it's true. People just go ahead on, pass it on. You know, that's forbidden by the Lord. "You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness," it says in Exodus 23:1. And that's exactly what you do when you pass on juicy information to somebody that might or might not be true. It says, and if you remember this, you're going to be held accountable for every word spoken, it says in Matthew 12. "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Are you ready to give an account for what comes out of your mouth, or what has come out of your mouth? You know, there was a story about a woman that had gossiped about a certain man. And when she realized what she'd done, she went to him and then she apologized to him. And she told him that she'd do anything to make up for that thing that she had said. And here's what he told her. He told her to take a sack full of feathers and go to so-and-so street corner and fling those feathers to the wind. And when she did that, she did it. And when she finished, she came back and reported. And then the man told her, he said, "You go back and retrieve every feather." You know what she said, of course? She said, "That's impossible. The wind has scattered them everywhere." "And so it is with the things that you have said," he replied. "There is no way to repair the damage that you have done." And that's what a gossip does. A lot of times we act like the person being gossiped about is the sinner, and the gossiper is just fine. Reckon why that is. Gossip may be the normal way of the world, but it ought not to be a part of your walk as a believer. "He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter," Proverbs 11:12-13. And us believers ought to work on holding our peace instead of revealing personal data, details, and speaking against our neighbor. It takes a whole lot bigger person with a stronger character to conceal a personal matter of another than it does to reveal that secret to another. Listen, just face it. Gossip sometimes is enjoyable to hear, and it feeds your flesh. That's what it does. Proverbs 18 and 8 says the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Listen, our flesh not only loves to hear the latest gossip about what's happening in other people's lives, but the flesh also wants to be recognized when we are the ones who discloses that latest, greatest information on somebody. People listen, and we feel special, don't we? And important when we can reveal that latest little tidbit of information that nobody else knows. But that ain't what a true Christian ought to be doing. Speak evil of no one, it says, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Titus 3. So take notice how these fleshly lusts, which would also include gossip, are supposed to be something of the past now, things that believers should have already done away with. And if you'll notice how the Apostle Paul, he talks about envy in the above scripture, and the one in Galatians 5 and 24, he says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Galatians 5, 24 and 26. You know, a lot of times it's because of jealousy or it's because of envy that people gossip or speak evil about others. They want to bring that other person down below them in order to make themselves feel better. That might be the way for the unsaved world, but for the believer it's not. And listen, also receiving gospel. You could compare listening and receiving gossip to somebody who is receiving stolen property because they're listening to somebody else's personal and intimate information. And that's illegal in God's book. Proverbs 17 and 4, an evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. So listening to gossip, that's one of the sins that Satan uses that is so slick, so cunning, that it traps even the best of Christians. That's because gossip is so tantalizing to the flesh, and it rears its ugly head in the middle of a conversation without you even realizing it. And then your opinion of that person spoken about changes. And now you think differently about them, don't you? Is what you heard really true? And was it any business of yours to know about that intimate detail? You just received into your spirit something from somebody else. What'd you receive? Was it slander? Was it evil speaking? Or was it just receiving true personal information or gossip? That's what it is. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. And so that means if you're listening to wicked lips or a destructive tongue, even if it's true information, the Bible calls you an evildoer. So we need to stop it, don't we? So how do you know if you're listening to a destructive tongue? You need to ask yourself what you're hearing. Is it building somebody up or is it tearing them down? And if you'll ask yourself the question, that question right there, you're going to know what to do. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21, 22, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. And if those words that somebody's speaking out and you're hearing are tearing somebody down, it says to abstain from evil and don't receive those words in your spirit. And if it's another believer, that's speaking those unkind words, then help them understand that what they're doing is hurtful to the body of Christ. And then what I do is just tell them, say, hey, look, instead of speaking against them, let's go ahead and pray for them. What you think? Because we're blessing and cursing not, right? And if they don't want to do that, and they persist in gossiping, then follow the scriptures in 1 Timothy 5 and 20. It says, as for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. And if that don't stop them from gossiping, then don't associate with that person any longer. Proverbs 20 and 19 says, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a gossip. You know, one of the biggest ways to understand when you're hearing gossip is when the name of that person is being used in a less than favorable way. That's a gossip. It's going to have an underlying tone of negativity and being judgmental. Now, we don't know who started the rumor, but it's gone from person to person, and now here it is to you. What you going to do with that information? Are you going to follow the crowd and pass that information on to somebody else? Exodus 23 and 2 says, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Are you going to close your ears and your mouth and stop that gossip right there? And what if you are passing on gossip? That in turn causes other believers to pass on that gospel, and which in turn is causing your brothers to sin. Matthew 18, 6 and 7 says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Listen, us believers are held much more accountable than those who don't know any better. And if we're causing division within the body or causing other believers to sin by what comes out of our mouth, it's not going to bode well with us on Judgment Day. You might be hearing this from the Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Matthew 7. 21 through 23. And if you are gossiping and you're causing others to gossip too, then you need to repent and ask the Lord to forgive you and ask that God would renew your mind, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. And you need to be aware of a tactic that Satan uses to disguise gossip as concern for others. This is slick stuff here. Rumors or gossip sometimes will seem more palatable to a mature Christian if they're hid behind that hollow expression of concern. How many times did they come up and said, brothers, I don't want to gossip or anything, but we just need to pray for this brother because here's what happened. You know, something like, keep old buddy in your prayers here because I heard his wife just left him, or some silly nonsense like that, you know. We're to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, 1 Peter said. So we need to be aware of that tactic. And we need to ask the Lord to reveal gossip to you when you hear others speak it, even when it comes in the form of concern for others. And I hope that you're beginning to see that this is what Satan's number one tactic is in order to divide and destroy the body of Christ. Satan is using the mouth of those who claim to be Christians to tear down the church. Is he using you to cause strife in the body? Are you one who makes peace, or are you one who steals that peace? Are you doing Satan's work for him? So we need to examine ourselves, don't we? 1 John 1:5-6 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we need to look at our walk, don't we? See if we're walking in the light or if we're walking in the darkness. And walking in darkness is using your tongue to hurt others and to cause division amongst God's people. And God hates it. Listen to what Proverbs 6:16-19 says. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. And that's exactly what we've been speaking about today. Slandering, railing, gossiping. And those are all sins that come out of your heart and manifest out your mouth. And they all take place against the body of Christ. And it causes division. And it causes discord in the body. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper separates close friends. Proverbs 16:28. And that's an abomination to the Lord. And those that are causing strife and division, they are detestable to the Lord. It's also what God uses to test those that are his true children. And he tests those that are of the devil. That's part of the shifting process that God uses. He says in 1 Corinthians 11:18-19, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Because out of the strife in which a railer or a gossiper will cause within the body, you're going to be able to recognize those that are the Lord's and those that are not. And if they don't repent and stop that evil behavior, they're going to be rejected. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned, Titus said. That's a factious man. And what those tares amongst the wheat do is they steal the peace in the body of believers. And the scriptures are clear about what happens to those who do not strive for that peace. Hebrews 12:14 says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So if you want to see the Lord, we need to change our ways, don't we? He says in Psalm 141:3, he says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And these scriptures should be the prayers of everybody reading the Word of God. Because without God doing his regenerating work in us, we're going to always fail. Psalms 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You know, while Satan's weapon against the church is to cause division by gossip and slander, God gave us a weapon to counteract what the devil is trying to do. And you know what that weapon is? It's called love, L-O-V-E. Because love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. You know, if everybody, every member within the body of Christ would practice what that scripture right there says, there would never be an issue with gossip or speaking against somebody, because we would love each other as we love ourselves. And that's how the body of Christ is supposed to function. It's supposed to function in love. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Philippians 4:8. I hope that what we've talked about today has been helpful to you. And if everybody would work together in Christ and remind each other when we are crossing that line of gossip, you know what? We would eliminate that sin from the body of Christ, and we'd start to walk in the fullness of Christ. Then we'd have that body of believers we see in the book of Acts, where they were of one heart. It had all things in common. They were in one accord, weren't they? And let's go ahead and pray that we get there soon. Psalm 15:1-3 says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friends. Now, praise God. Let me give you just a few more of these scriptures. 1 Timothy 5:19, do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Jeremiah 9:3-6, they bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil. And they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit, and through deceit they refuse to know me, declares the Lord. Romans 1:28-32 says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. That's the word of God. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish. That perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossips, arrogance, disturbances. 2 Corinthians 12:20. Proverbs 12:17-18. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Well, Father, we thank you for helping us out here, Lord. We thank you for teaching us to walk and cast down these things that come upon us, that the devil wants to divide us with gossip and slander and railings, Lord. Help us to know that, Lord. Help us to see that that is ungodly and not and a righteous man does not receive those things. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, teach us how to pray when somebody comes up. Just tell them, say, oh, let's pray for him. Let's just pray for him. We don't want to talk about him. We want to bless him with God's prayer and blessing. And thank you, Father, for teaching us that. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to be that righteous man and woman of God that you want us to be, by teaching us to cast down these evil thoughts and to stop our mouth from speaking those curses against our brothers and sisters. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in all of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, all right, folks, we're out of time. And God bless you, and we'll see you next time, God willing.